soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel.
Welcome back, folks, to the Corporation Nation. With me today is my very special guest, Vinny Eastwood of The Vinny Eastwood Show, and that's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, as well as realgorillamedia.com. You know, Vinny, I got the privilege, if you will, of actually seeing some of the unedited footages of Big Brother and Survivor. And like I said, what happens off the scene, off camera, of course, it's a 24-hour camera, but especially at the Big Brother house, what you would see is the producers, the directors, and they had several of them, would come out from behind the corners, and they would basically say, okay, here's what's going to happen. I want you to be sexually attracted to her, and I want you to be sexually attracted to him so that we have a love triangle, and then I want you two to fight against each other. I want you to form a collusion. I want you to be against these people, and I want you to eventually... to basically direct the whole thing to get the best possible... scenario out of it, the best possible drama, if you will. And in truth, it's like the most boring footage you could ever watch. This guy used to go through it all and just pick out the best parts. And basically, the whole thing is designed to show people and to constantly put into their heads, all of these reality shows, again, to put into their heads that the only way you can get ahead is to step on other people's heads. You cannot get ahead without harming or doing something bad. You must scheme and you must work against everyone else in the, basically everything's a competition, even though it's not. And that's what we're being trained on a continuous basis. Every sitcom, everything. It's all designed to destroy any kind of empathetic reaction that we might have.
It's not reinforcing anything that's good for society, is it? And so naturally society starts to fall apart. I don't think people actually realize just how much power and influence over our culture the media has. All right. It's virtually total. If one particular thing is all over the media, what's everybody going to be talking about? What's everybody going to be believing? What's everybody going to be accepting? Yeah. And I think this is probably the reason why I got into the media, is because I see it's probably the slow blade that penetrates the shield. You see what I'm saying? In the Dune sense of the word, that's what the media is doing. They're slipping the knife into your mind, and they're doing it very, very slowly, so that whenever it needs to be backed up physically, whether by the militarized police or the scumbaggery government and what have you, hey, everybody will be prepared for it. They're just softening us up, fattening us up like swine.
Yeah, like I said, it's a way to get a mutual consent of the people. Even if they don't consent to whatever it is they're trying to pull, it is a form of indoctrination, a form of informing people what is happening and what is going to happen, and even what has happened. And basically, like you said, what has media become? It's become a reporting agency, not investigative reporting, as much as it is just, okay, a crime was committed, trillions were taken out of the economy, and no one gets in trouble. We're not going to do anything with this information. We're just going to report it. And that's it's a big disclosure, but nothing's being done. No one is actually taking the ball. And this is why I think it's important for you and for me and anybody else that takes even a, 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 the smallest of shows out there, it's very important to make it clear that nothing is going to change just by me getting on here and blabbering about things, and you listening is not going to change things. It actually will take direct action. It will actually, because just because you're hearing it on the media doesn't mean action is being taken. Just because Alex Jones talks about it doesn't mean that he's doing anything about it or anybody else, you know.
Well, see, the thing is, the media's got one job, and that's to spread the information so that people can take action that is actually effective without going in blind. Right? That's about it. Everybody tells the media people to solve all their problems for them so that they don't have to, so they can just sit back and continue to be freaking spectators. Stop being a spectator! Just get off your ass at some point, you know? Do something. Anything. Just don't do nothing.
We lost Vinny there.
I tell my listeners on a regular basis, if you're planning on taking action, I would much rather you do that than listen to me. I would rather wake up tomorrow without a career, without any listeners, because every single one of them took my advice and went out and started taking action against the New World Order, started exposing scumbaggery in their own little past, started to take their passion and turn it into something diabolical that the system will really, really hate. That was what I would prefer. I would prefer to be unemployed and dead and have the world saved, rather than have a constant source of employment, because the source of employment is scumbaggery, which is incidentally a renewable resource which can never run out. I think the late Bob Chapman, I think it was the first time I ever interviewed him, I asked him, do you think that there's any possibility that we could create a system where corruption would never be able to take hold again, you know, like a permanently vigilant, incorruptible system? He said no.
Absolutely.
A perennial thing. It just keeps growing and growing and growing all year round, and you just have to keep cutting it back. You know, your garden doesn't stay weed free because you sit on your ass and do nothing, does it?
No, exactly. We talk about this all the time. You know, you can't a system, especially as corrupt as the United States system, cannot be fixed. I mean, even Walter Burian and all his efforts, and we're going to be trying to really, really put those efforts into fruition here pretty soon. Even his efforts are only as good as taking the corruption and controlling it. I mean, that's really what he is trying to do, is literally to acknowledge the corruption, first of all, because no one wants to acknowledge it. Secondly, harness it, pass laws that say corruption is actually wrong and evil and will be punished, which we don't have at the moment because everything seems to be legal. All he's doing is actually really harnessing the corruption to try to get the people to finally benefit from their own taxpayer money that they spend. Right now, there is no benefit. There is no tax benefit. I mean, it's just the bare minimum. You know, people are starving on the streets. So the concept of fixing an already corrupt system, to me, is a ridiculous one as well. And
yeah, it's kind of like when your computer's kind of frozen. You don't sit there and wait for it to unfreeze. You hit the reset button, don't you?
Sure. It's kind of what the Declaration of Independence alludes to, which is to abolish that government. But
yeah,
well, and this is why
the people have the rights to throw off such government, whether violently or otherwise. And this is the thing: how many rules do you think the elite are going to follow? What lengths do you think it is to which they will not go in order to enslave and exterminate everybody? The answer is obviously none. There's a realization that I had is that the measurement of how good somebody is the extent to which they will restrain themselves. And the measurement by which you can measure evil is how little they restrain themselves.
Well, good point. To me, what it takes is actually going and reading the U.S. Code, because when you actually read the code, you find out, hey, this is actually not, this is not law. This is actually the blueprint for how to enslave. I mean, it's literally, all the stuff that you would think is unlawful is actually listed as lawful. It's either exempt from the law or it's just there, sitting there. It's like an instruction book on how to control and how to harm. It's really frightening when you actually read the code.
Yeah, I always found it funny that the word lawful rhymes with the word awful.
All right, folks, stay with us.
neighbor. Welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different. Some things, some can do others. Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do? Many.
We're back to the Corporation Nation. My guest today, Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Radio Program. Welcome again, sir. So I guess to
I'm having fun, by the way.
Yeah, it's good times, man. You're always fun. You can't help it.
You know, I really can't. You know, I'm just relentlessly enjoyable. there's just no escape. You know, I can't turn it off. I was telling one of my listeners the other night, and I was like, "I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I just entertain myself. You know, I'm a broadcaster. It's just what I do. You know, give me a microphone, and I entertain myself for hours on end. You know, it's kind of like you give a child.
Hopefully somebody listens.
Yeah, I mean, see, me and a microphone is like a child in a Rubik's cube, you know, it just never ends.
Well, like I said, I mean, your catchphrase used to be the lighter side of genocide or something?
Yeah. Well, and there's a second part of that catchphrase is because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you noticed that it happens to a lot of us actually, Clint, don't you think? Once you start looking into scumbaggery and terrifying things and horrible stuff and what have you, you start to lose your sense of humor, and then you start getting really rude and angry and bitter with people all the time, and you basically just turn into the very same evil that you wound up starting to fight against.
Yeah, it can happen. I've seen it happen, certainly. I've tried very hard not to let it affect what it boils down to is I try very hard to not let it affect my false attempts to fit in at parties. You know what I mean? I mean, I still have to function in society somewhat, and unfortunately that means sometimes dumbing my own self down a little bit because no one wants to hear
it's almost like I can't actually do that. You know, it's like if I'm gonna go out partying and stuff like that, I'm either look, when people are under the influence, it doesn't matter what they're taking, whether they're stoned, drunk, tripping balls on ecstasy or acid or whatever, they're a hell of a lot more open to new ideas and more to the point, deep and meaningful discussions and things. And those are the kind of discussions that I like. Maybe because I based my career on having these kind of things. In fact, that reminds me, when I was 19, a friend of mine criticized me. He said, "Vinny, you know what your problem is?" And I go, "What?" And he says, "You try to force good conversation on people." I was like, "My bad."
Yeah, I mean, you're basically cock blocking. I mean, that's right. You're interrupting the New World Order dating sequence, basically.
Yeah. Ignoramus interruptus.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, that's really good. I'm going to keep using that. Ignoramus interruptus. In fact, that'd be a good name for a radio show, don't you think? You know.
Well, that is the radio. Have you come to the same sort of conclusion as I'm just curious? Because, you know, at first, I think everybody starts, when they start understanding some of the concepts and what's actually happening to them, how they're enslaved, all that, everybody wants to scream it from the rooftop. And basically everybody wants to scream it in a way that is towards a group as opposed to an individual. We're kind of hitting on this earlier. And what I've discovered is that does no good. I mean, it basically creates more ignorance because there is no one-to-one interaction. There's no heartfelt conversation with when you're actually trying to explain, like you say, with your guests, you actually really try to, you know, hit it home with them. And I've really realized, especially lately, that there is no, you know, revolution. There is no group revolution. There's only revolution of the mind. Well, unfortunately, that's one mind at a time. And so,
which makes mass media almost irrelevant, doesn't it?
Well, it seems to. But I'm hoping to maybe, you know, people like you and me and others can change that and actually you know, I don't know. It's a frustration, and yet, you know, this all this technology and everything, it's both the culprit and possibly the savior of the mass mind melding.
Well, I think, what was it, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. What's interesting is that we're in the land of the asleep, and we're awake, and we're certainly not kings. That saying is BS, man. It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's in the land of the lies, the man who knows the truth is even worse off, you know, because at least he can't even enjoy the illusion of being happy.
Yeah, there is no being put back into the Matrix, is there?
I mean, the best that you can do is be able to live with yourself, you know? When I was a young kid, I was like, I think I was drinking on a Friday night. I think I might have been to 17, 18 or something, you know, underage drinking is really cool. Kids do it. No, I'm kidding. And, one of my friend's dads was dying of emphysema. He had like about 6 months to live. He said, you know, I'll just give you a piece of advice my dad gave me. As a man, you have to stare in the mirror every day and shave. Well, some of us don't because, you know, pretty unkempt. But if you can still look at yourself in the mirror and you're not disgusted by what you see, you're doing all right. I look at myself in the mirror and I go, whoa, there's this really awesome activist looking back at me, you know, somebody who actually helps people who've had family members murdered by agents of the US government, somebody who helps people who have been locked in mental institutions for saying 9/11 was an inside job, somebody who gives a voice to these people who have experienced so much pain and suffering and nobody listens to them. And I feel very privileged to be the man that I see in that mirror.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, we joke around about being contemptuous, basically, to most of the public, but it's really, that's really not the case. I mean, it's really a deep desire to bring people back to sanity and reality and see what the heck's happening to them. When you see that someone is enslaved and they don't know it, when you see a whole population that is enslaved, it's a very disturbing thing. You can joke about it. We can call them names. We can call them sheeple. We can do all these things. But in reality, it's a deep-seated care. And that's the big difference. It really is. I mean, like I said, you'll probably sell a joke now, but it really does come from a empathetic place.
Yeah, and I do think that this is I don't know. It's like holding hands with people who are falling off a cliff. You just get dragged down with them, and I think that's what happens when you get into this movement and you try to help people. In fact, here's another thing, and it's like layers of depression. So let's say there's 100 layers of depression and anxiety that you've got to get over in order to become a balanced truther. All right, just for the sake of argument. Firstly, you get into it and you go, wow, this person woke me up. And then you find out that that person's actually a bit of a scumbag who's screwed over many people. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't. What do I do now? You know, my heroes that I put up on a pedestal have fallen off of that pedestal that I put them on and they've crushed me. And so that filters out a lot of people. A lot of people just get depressed and then just go, oh, the truth movement's completely corrupt and it's stupid and what have you. And I'm not going to participate in it anymore. So I'm going to go to my slave job. That's much better. You know, it's a way better idea, you know.
Stay out of sleep. Yes.
You know, and so for the stronger of us, you get over that and you're like, oh my God, maybe it was a bad idea to put people up on pedestals in the first place. Maybe I should actually start doing stuff myself. Maybe I should have some self-respect and whatnot. That way I don't leave it all up to everybody else and take some individual responsibility.
My God, this is heresy. Heresy, pure and
simple. It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water.
Well, Vinny, it's always a pleasure to be in your most humble presence.
You know, actually, I've never been accused of being humble. I can't see what, you know. I don't know, like, I don't know, people lack a crisis in confidence. Muhammad Ali was always talking about, I'm the best you've ever seen, you know, I'm going to be dancing, you know. and Bruce Lee, the same thing, you know. Two guys, totally full of themselves, totally reckon they were the best at what they do, and totally freaking were.
And the next thing you know, you're looking at up from them from the mat.
See, that's kind of me. It's actually a trait of what Thomas Sheridan calls benign narcissism. All right, narcissism's really, really bad because you love yourself and you don't really care about anybody else. But a benign narcissist loves themselves and cares about other people, and ironically believes in themselves enough to actually help those other people that they care about. It's a slight difference, but you know, I'll take what I can get.
Well, you know, to know him is to love him. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I was just talking with my mate, Will Ryan, over the break on Facebook, and we're hosting this big protest on Saturday here to get Len Brown, who's the mayor of Auckland, mayor of like 1.4 million people, largest city in the country. It was an Agenda 21 takeover, more or less, if you want to get technical about it. But he's apparently been quite corrupt. He's sleeping around with Asian burlesque dancer chick and stuff like that, actually having sex with her in particular rooms of the council building. and because me, I'm an extremist conspiracy theorist, and a couple of other former mayoral candidates and what have you are going to be speaking there, people are using this as an excuse to say it's all completely crazy. So we've got people who are left-wing and people who are right-wing coming to speak, and that's a reason why you should never listen to us, because we're left-wing or right-wing and we're all coming together, so therefore none of us are correct and we're all crazy. All right, that's the logic.
So let me get this straight. You're a benign narcissist, and you're going after just a narcissist?
Actually, I'm going after psychopaths. I think somebody was actually talking to me about this, and they go, well, if you're a narcissist, why are you going after psychopaths? And I say, well, they're because they're my natural enemy. It's kind of like if you're a black person and you don't steal stuff and what have you, black people who do steal stuff are your natural enemy because they make you look bad. Yeah. I don't want to use that as a racist example and what have you, but the basic thing is true. How you define yourself is how you differentiate yourself from the other people who are just like you but have notable differences. And I feel that's kind of like it. Like I'm a non-psychopathic narcissist who really hates psychopathic narcissists. So, 'cause all psychopaths are narcissists. But not all narcissists are psychopaths, and that's the important difference here.
Well, when is your protest?
This Saturday. I'm going to be.
Where do people find details on that?
Oh, shoot! I'm so terrible. I'm like one of the speakers there, and I've got. I'm bringing all the sound equipment and whatnot, but I can't even freaking remember where it is. If you just Google Len Brown stand down, or the details are on my YouTube channel, actually. So if you search Len Brown on my YouTube channel, you should be able to find it. There's a video there by former mayoral candidate Stephen Berry that I produced for him. In fact, I'll pop it into the chat room now for everybody to see it, and I'll indeed put it on the archives for the show when I put it up there.
So speaking of the scumbaggery, to borrow your phrase, in New Zealand, one of my guests asked about a gentleman named Greg Hallett. And what's your opinion on that? Because we obviously have, I mean, when it comes to child abuse and child sexual abuse and all of that pedophilia type of stuff, I mean, America is, again, it's basically, you might as well call it legal within government, because it's protected by the courts and it's protected by the, I call them secret societies that make up the police and the courts. So what's going out there with this guy, Greg Hallett? Or what did happen?
Well, he's written a number of books, and
he had to leave New Zealand, right?
Did he? I don't know. I haven't spoken to Greg in a long time. I met him a couple of times. One time I met him outside the Auckland High Court at a protest, and he was telling me about how the police were shipping the drugs in and whatnot. But I asked Greg one time if he would come on my show, and he asked me how many visitors I had a month to my website, and he goes, "Nah, too small."
Yeah, there's certain people out there that are like that, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, bro, it's not like people are clambering to frickin' interview you. You know, it's like you're talking about the pedophile rings and everything that run in this thing that can wind up getting them their shows cancelled and maybe get them killed and what have you. And somebody comes up and offers you a couple of hours or what have you to speak your piece and what have you. And you go, nah, too small.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like me.
Well, and that's the point. You know, that's the point I was trying to make, is there is no too, there's too big, but there's not too small.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to like throw Greg under the bus, you know, because he does a whole lot of good things. A lot of people criticize him and say that what he's saying isn't true and blah 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 blah. But you know, at the end of the day, if he's talking about scumbaggery, if he's talking about the and how it operates within society in any way, shape, or form, I'm never too much of an enemy of those kind of people. You know, I mean, I may not like them personally or how they treat me and who they are as people, but for what they do and that kind of thing, then I'm fine with it. You know, I mean, as long as you're not working for the scumbags and as long as you're exposing a little bit of scumbaggery, you know, it's all right. You know, go for your life, son.
It's tough, though, because, I mean, gosh, go look in the newspaper. What's available as, quote-unquote, jobs, as busyness, what is available? It's basically, come work for scumbag number 15. We do banking. We commit usury as our, that's how we make a profit. You know, it's really tough to, I mean, I've been like racking my brain and what I can do to legitimately, which is a word that doesn't even exist in America anymore, legitimately, live, you know, without the Federal Reserve note, without, I mean, it's so frustrating. It really is.
Yeah, life's a frustrating thing, and especially when you realize that your life is not your own and you're actually a slave that's on the frickin' stock market. You know?
It's a horrible realization.
Yeah, it is a horrible realization, and I think everybody should just, like, go, you know what? Look, the situation's bad, okay? We know it's bad, and...
But it's been the same since, you know, pre-biblical times. It's been the same. It's the same thing over and over and over. Fractal, just like you said before.
Yeah. Totally right. It's a fractal scumbaggery planet, all right? And one thing that I believe is actually really kind of valuable that I use constantly is the advent of humor. I mean, even on a physical level, with the endorphin rushes and things of that nature that cackling gives you, it actually is a way of disarming that fear, that paranoia, that depression. Because look, you can't go from everything's hunky dory in the entire world, you can trust your politicians, the police don't beat people up for no reason, and the judges aren't corrupt and the medical industry isn't the biggest killer in America, to finding out the truth that actually everything that you've been brought up to believe in your entire freaking life is completely wrong and you have to start again. It's like I spent all these years in high school and university and all of these jobs and everything, and everything that I learned over the entire period of that time was BS. I have to start again. That's kind of like building your house and then accidentally burning it down when you were having a cigarette. Pretty depressing. So, yeah. You know, you got to get over it. I mean, because that's actually pretty funny, that example that I do there. Ah, oh, great, we got the house all built and everything like that. Let's have a cigarette to celebrate. The whole thing like goes up. You
know? Well, I was writing about this actually. I was writing about going and rewatching George Carlin. I saw George Carlin live in, I think it was Bally's Las Vegas, and I noticed that he wasn't funny when you see him live, and that the people in the audience, they actually add laugh tracks because the nature of his material is not funny at its heart. There's, you know, he does his other routines, but his political humor is not funny. It's truth right in your face. And wow, to see it live as opposed to see it with laugh tracks was a hell of a wake up call. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us. Well, Vinny, I want to thank you for coming on today. It was kind of an unrehearsed, just all-out fun fest, and I appreciate it. Again, Vinny Eastwood, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and realgorillamedia.com. You know, I'm going to probably, after the show tonight, after I have some dinner, I'm probably going to now that you brought up fractals, I'm probably going to go get stoned and watch some fractal videos. Just got to be honest.
There are worse fates.
Yeah, I mean,
can't think of any off the top of my head, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, it's hopefully it won't stick. Mm. Hopefully I won't dream about it, but, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. That's actually how I sleep, is I'll close my eyes and I'll visualize, you know those, I don't know, it was a Windows Media Player or something like that, and it's got like a hole in the middle, and all the sound waves come out the edge, like you're going into a black hole, like a wormhole or something like that. That's what I do in order to get to sleep at night, is I visualize a wormhole and I try and push myself into it and visualize me going through this wormhole. It just gets deeper and deeper, and eventually I fall asleep.
Yeah, I do the same thing actually, and it's interesting.
Well, that's weird.
I can see it better though. Again, on certain leafy
green vegetables.
Yes. So, but yeah, that's actually I try to do that too. I have horrible insomnia. Unfortunately, I have that one of those hyperactive minds that just keeps thinking of every possibility, and so it's a little tough to sleep for me, but.
Yeah, curling up a ball worrying about scumbaggery with the anxiety doesn't really help much. In fact, our very career choice is not good for sleep patterns, I've found, because you're often up long into the night, you know, missus will come into the room, Vinny, come to bed, and I go, no, somebody on the internet is wrong.
Yeah, I'm in a chat room where five people are watching and I'm having a major, major debate that's going to change the world. Funny that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just don't have a grip on reality. It's actually quite funny. I was looking through my Facebook block list, and I was like, holy cow, I've blocked a hell of a lot of people over the years.
Well, you know, I'm going through right now a weird kind of thing. I'm getting, because I've been talking about Christianity, I've been talking about, like, true Christianity without the church, just talking about the Bible itself and what it says. And how it affects the law. I mean, it actually is the law of the land. Once you realize what this thing is, it becomes such a powerful thing. You forget religion, forget all. You just the book itself is basically what all law is based on. So I've been talking about that and realizing that it's kind of it's almost a remedy in law. And we're gonna even have a a guest on about that. So now all of a sudden I'm getting what I can only call death cults contact me, and they're sending me these cryptic, you know, fundamentalist messages that says, they say basically the only solution to life is death. We must rid ourselves of the flesh so that we can be, you know, journey on. And I'm like, my God, what are you talking about? So I'm getting all these crazy.
Isn't that ironic? Somebody who's still alive telling you that death is way better than life. How the hell would you know? How about you volunteer, bro? You know, you first go for your life and then contact me from the afterlife via email and then tell me how it is, brother. Don't tell me it beforehand, okay?
It's like you totally, totally, totally misrepresenting what the Bible actually says. That's fundamentalism, and that's what's being taught. Just like it's being taught in the media, everything we're talking about. That's what's being taught in these corporate churches. It's to get people away from the realization of what that dang book actually says and why it's an authorized version. That it's the law.
That's what they've done. Oh my God. Here's what the word fundamentalist means. Okay. They take out all the fun and just leave in all the being mental part. They're not fun people to hang around. I'm sorry. You know, you're going to die. You're going to hell. It's like, I know, but, you know, it doesn't mean I have to be worried about it, because then I'll be living in hell before I die as well. Frack that.
Well, yeah, see, but that's the thing. You know, you find out what these words actually mean. You find out that hell is actually a legal term, and it means the prison under the executor for debt slaves who don't pay their debts. You know, so, yeah, you might be going there. That's the thing. You might be going there in life, not in death. That's the interesting part about it, you know. So
I say bring back the Jubilee, man. Every 50 years, all debts get cleared. Every 50 years. Wow. Wipe the slate clean. That sounds like a brilliant idea to me.
But instead, we have every 70 years, it's a redeclaration of bankruptcy.
This is my creative solution. Everybody's going, oh my God, we've got all this debt. We've got all this debt. And I go, how did they get there? Well, they made it up. Well, why don't we just forgive the debt, pretend that it doesn't exist? How about that? They're like,
you mean we're the creator so we can uncreate?
No. We're the ones who imagined all this stuff, so how about we just stop imagining it and start imagining something else? It doesn't really exist. It's not actually there, so frick it, you know. There's nothing to tie it down in reality. We can just change it anytime we want. Kind of like our Neo in The Matrix.
Yeah. Well, and truth be told, it's not our debt. It's actually the corporation called the United States debt. It has nothing to do with us. That we've just been fooled again through media conditioning, through school, to think that it's our debt. It has nothing to do with us. Yeah. We just agree to pay.
I was never there. I signed those documents without my say so, man.
I'm extremely You know, every activist needs to do that from time to time. Just do that. Just get that exhausted, frustrated. Yeah, because look, everything pisses me off. All right, to a degree. It may not seem like it. I may seem like I've got a good coping mechanism, but at the end of the day, I am like this close to just, you know, flying off the handle and start screaming and yelling at people. Like, honestly, that's what I am. I'm like on the razor blade of sanity at any given point, because everything's so frustrating. But on the other side of the things, there's so many wonderful things, so many wonderful people. You know, I really hate talking with slave scum, but I love talking with people like you who are just, you know, a normal slave like me who doesn't like being a slave and whatnot, and actually wants to do something about it rather than just, you know, convince everybody else to go along to get along, and hopefully being exterminated will be a fun time, you know. Maybe they'll have volleyball at the FEMA camps. You don't know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we'll see you there at the camps. I you know, it's kind of like it's going to be where the party's at, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
FEMA camp number 12, man.
Yeah. It'll be like that scene in at the very end of Return of the Jedi where all the little Ewoks they're like playing drums on the discarded stormtrooper helmets.
Yeah. All right. Stop.
My bad.
Stop. All right. Tell people where they can find you again, because we're running out of time real quick.
All right. Well, if you search Vinny Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen, it's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. You'll probably find me at the vinnyeastwoodshow.com, Vincent Eastwood on YouTube, realgorillamedia.com. I also contribute to the usindependent.com, and you can find me on Facebook as well under Vinny Eastwood. And other than that, I think the best way to contact me is actually through Facebook. I found... excuse me, I'm having a little bit of a...
Howdy.
Yeah, maybe I need a throaties or something like that. You know?
Facebook, huh? The ultimate slave.
I call it Fashbook. It's basically just a place where you can suggest me guests and things of that nature. Maybe have a chat off air and whatnot. You know, it's a good communication tool. It's far more I'm far more likely to reply to you on Facebook than I am via email or Skype messages to a large degree. It's actually quite sad now that I think about it. But there you go.
Well, DARPA just called and said they're very happy to hear that.
Oh yeah. Yep. Well, that's nice. Well, the thing is, they surveil absolutely everything at all times anyway, so it doesn't matter whether you're on Facebook, Skype, email, doesn't matter. They know everything all the time, everywhere. So here's my philosophy. Give them a good show.
That's basically what I tell people is don't try to protect yourself from it because it's already there. Globalism isn't on its way. It's already here. Everything's already here. Don't be afraid of it. It's already here. But maybe you could do something about it, right?
Yeah. It's like, I'm afraid that the evil New World Order will surveil me and know what I'm doing if I actually try and do something about the evil New World Order. So I'm not going to do anything about the evil New World Order. Frickin' idiot. Thanks,
Clint. All right, Vinny, man. Thanks again. VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.